looking at tonight.
Is that what you're calling it? Yes, indeed. Sir, can you hear us? Oops. Can you hear us, sir?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Antonio Collins, 166825.
Thank you, Mr. Collins, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on October 27, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights? One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the teleconference screen, to my far left is Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Collins and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, I do, sir.
Mr. Collins, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes.
According to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number two, is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at TLC 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on June 6, 2017, as verbally directed on June 6, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Collins, is this true or false?
It's false.
Okay. Based on the answer that Mr. Collins stated that the allegation is false, we will take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to you shortly, Mr. Collins, for a few questions. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On June 6th of 2017, the offender reported to the Western Regional Parole Office as directed. On that day, CCO Isabor verbally directed the offender to establish residence at TLC 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85006 on June 6th of 2017. On June 7th of 2017, P.O. Isabor called TLC Roosevelt to follow up on offender's residency. TLC resident manager confirmed that the offender failed to establish residence at TLC as directed. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up. On June 7th of 2017, P.O. called the emergency contact number listed for the offender. The emergency contact could not be reached. P.O. called the offender's girlfriend, Amanda. There was no answer. On a second call, Amanda acknowledged the call, but hung up on my introduction as a parole officer. Called the MCSO, offender is not in custody. Offender failed to report to the parole officer.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Collins. What is it that is false about this allegation?
I actually did go to TLC. And I have medical conditions that you see. I have a cane.
Yes, sir.
I was half paralyzed. And when I went there to TLC, they said it's a working program. that I couldn't walk upstairs or I couldn't hold heavy things. So they said they couldn't take me in because it's a rookie working program. And when I left, it was after 5 o'clock, the parole office was closed. And I went to my mom's house and he called me then on the 7th and said I was violated. And he said he called TLC, he said the manager, all that stuff, and said I didn't go.
Okay. Mr. Collins, before we move through phase one to phase two, I'm going to ask a few questions of our community corrections officer. Mr. Osborne, number one, is there any record of what he stated about him showing up to TLC or his parole officer contacting him?
No, so the only thing noted is that he did not establish residence in TLC on 6-7. And then the call to the girlfriend on also on 6-7 where he received a hang-up phone call once he identified himself.
Okay, and with respect to the parole office, if he had contact, if there had been contact between the parole officer and Mr. Collins, I assume that there'd be a chrono note or some sort of...
There would be a chrono note, sir, and also absconder reduction program letters did go out to 8002 West Highland Avenue in Phoenix and 6016 West Oregon Avenue in Glendale in attempts to have him turn himself in, they would have worked with it.
Mr. Collins, during the first phase, I usually don't ask that many questions, but I'm going to ask this one, and that is, did you have a girlfriend named Amanda, and why would she hang up on the parole officer?
I did have a girlfriend named Amanda, but I wasn't with her at the time, and I have no associate with her anymore, so they just, when I went to the parole office, they gave me a name of girlfriend, mother, or anybody, if I can, stay with, and I named her just for a name, but I have no associates with her, so I don't know what was going on with that.
Okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and move through the first phase of this hearing before we move on to phase two. So please understand that we're going to make a quick vote here, and it's only a pass through phase one. This is not the end of the hearing. So, based on our discussion, based on the information warrant number 2017W1935 and information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Collins delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal razor company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Collins, we just passed through the first phase. It's the second phase where we determine whether or not your supervision will be continued or revoked. But I'm going to ask you now, and it's asked with extreme respect for your rights in this hearing process, would you like to continue with this hearing or kill your number? Because you only have 12 days left before you're going to be released. So at this stage, with that little time left, it is a choice that we offer.
Well, I have a son that I would like to get back to that I have to leave with my mother at the time, and she's 60 and she can barely do help herself.
Okay, sir, then we're just going to continue. We'll just continue the hearing. Again, that is your right. That's more of a practical issue. If you felt that there was no reason to move forward, we could just end it here and we'll be out in 12 days. But if you want to continue with phase two, that is just fine. So you're good with that?
It doesn't matter. It's up to whatever you guys...
No, it's your decision. We're just saying that if with you knowing you're coming out in 12 days, you don't have to go through the rest of the hearing. Otherwise, we can continue. There's the possibility, look, here's the reality. There's a possibility you could get out a few days earlier if this board should vote to return you to community supervision. I'm just telling you it's a matter of a few days, but it is your choice. We're not pressuring you.
Yeah, but you can go on.
No problem. Now we're going to move on to phase two. Mr. Collins, during this phase, we'll determine if your supervision will be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional information. We will come back to you momentarily. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we're going to get some background information, and then we'll come back to you for questions, Mr. Collins.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Collins was released from DOC custody on June 1st of 2017. He was arrested on October 14th of 2017 by the Phoenix Police Department under the gone to warrant status, and was returned back to our custody that same day with 130 abscond days, with a community supervision end date of December 9th of 2017. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2002, burglary, second degree, 2 years, 6 months. 2002, theft, 1 year. 2003, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year, 3 months. 2006, theft of means of transportation, 11 years, 3 months. And 2006, resisting arrest, 3 years, 9 months. He's had 4 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There is no STG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2005, earned release of absconder, 77 days, arrested on felony theft of means, transportation, and resisting arrest, returned to custody and reached CSED. In 2015, TIS violator, arrest on felony ag assault, domestic violence, and misdemeanor assault, domestic violence charges, returned to custody and revoked. He has a significant disciplinary history with fighting, extortion, escape, and threats of violence noted. And he has a community risk score of G6VA.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Collins. I see that you were approved to live at TLC 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Obviously, that's not where you live, so where were you living when you were outside of the prison system?
I gave my parole officer, Isidore, the address of my mother's at 1735 West Missouri, and they wrote all that down. So they knew where I was. I told them I had to go to, I wanted to go to some of my doctor's appointments because I had surgery and all that. That's why it was 130 days.
Okay, sir. I'll get back to the 130 days in a in a second, but I do have a question, and that is, you've shown that you have cane. You said that part of your body was injured, or you had some paralysis. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, in the spine.
Was that from an accident, or how did that come about?
It just popped on me. We don't know. I had a bone sticking in my spine. It's paralyzing me. I play a lot of sports, so that's where I'm thinking it came from.
Just one second, Mr. Collins. Yes, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. And reading the notice upon his intake, he was told that he could not live at his mother's apartment because of third-party liability and a violent felony charges. The mother was not willing to sign a consent for him to live there.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, we started to talk about this. You're missing from community supervision for 130 days. What are you doing during that time, sir?
I was taking care of my son, staying with my mother she wanted me to stay here, and I was going through my doctor's appointments and stuff like that, that I still have to go to, like on the first and all that.
Very good. And I think you already stated that you couldn't work because of your injury, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You were arrested by the Phoenix Police Department on your absconder status. What happened that caused the Phoenix Police to make contact with you?
Well, my girlfriend wanted to see the baby, and she was on drugs, and I didn't allow her, so she called the police. And I wasn't leaving my son, so they came and arrested me. That's why I say my son is with my mother right now.
Have you had any history with drug use yourself?
No, sir. I have no history of no drugs or nothing like that. I don't even drink alcohol.
Well, we commend you for that. And I will tell you honestly, the reason why I asked is because when I look at your history, that's kind of the typical history of someone doing, and again, I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but like doing crime to like pay for drugs and that sort of thing. So that was not your motivation. Drugs and alcohol were your motivation.
No, I was a little knucklehead.
Well, I appreciate your straightforwardness with the board. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. All right, seeing no questions, Mr. Collins, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you'd like to share?
One thing I have to share is that I would like to get back, take care of my son, and finishing up my medical and all that stuff.
Well, thank you, Mr. Collins. The board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision whether to revoke or return you to community supervision? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly. Yes, sir.
And that I did go to TLC, and it's a TLC is our working program that they was not allowing me, because at the time I couldn't walk upstairs or walk downstairs or anything like that. And that's what they told me.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. Anything else?
No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. The board will be going into discussion now. The board is now in the discussion. Fellow board members, Mr. Collins is 35 years old. We've heard his history. I appreciate that he is accountable for some of the bad decisions he made in his youth when we consider his criminal history. He states that he went to TLC. I think the part that we cannot ignore is that there was just a lack of follow-up between him and his parole officer. We don't know if there could have been some sort of alternative arrangement, but we don't have notation from parole or in the chrono notes for any sort of alternative arrangement. So we have to take it at face value that he was absconding from supervision for 130 days before he was arrested by the Phoenix Police Department. I appreciate his demeanor with the board, but based on all of the information that we gathered, I'm not finding him suitable for community supervision, especially considering that he only has 12 days left and he'll be free to pursue his own interests in a very short time, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Quinones, I would just add that he has two previous terms of community supervision that were unsuccessful. I do appreciate very much that he doesn't use drugs, and I believe that he doesn't use drugs, and hope he continues not to use drugs.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I also was amused by his statement, I was a little knucklehead, and let's hope that he's done with being a knucklehead and ready to turn around and be a good role model for his son.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse, and thank you for that follow-up. I think that's always, again, an important part of the collective dialogue. Any further input by my colleagues?
Sure.
That being stated, I would like to make a motion and we'll see where the votes fall. And that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W1935, our discussion with Mr. Collins, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Collins was delinquent by the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or is about to lapse in a criminal race or company, inasmuch that he absconded for 130 days and we cannot account for his activities outside of the prison system, and it is a fundamental violation of community supervision, and I do not find him suitable for community supervision. Kind of getting lost here. So and that's my motion.
I'll second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Collins, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about December 19th, 2017. As I stated, that's 12 days away. You'll be free and clear. There'll be no community corrections officer, no parole officer. You'll be able to pursue your own interests, and we do wish you the best when you return. So we recommend that you take advantage of these last few days to put together a plan, and hopefully you can return to your mother and son and lead a productive life outside of the correction system. We appreciate your time. You too, sir.